Well, I am Steve Greenwood, and I'm really super glad to get to be here with you guys today. And the name of the seminar session is Elementary Apologetics with Elements Kids Worship. If you have no idea even what that is, we'll get into the nuts and bolts later, right, Christine? And but it's something, it's a digital curriculum that you can buy through Randall House, through D6, okay? So we'll get back to that in a second. But first I want to just kind of talk about what this topic says and then work into more of what Elements is, what it does, okay? So first of all, let's just talk about this. I really fully believe that in your church, the ministry that you're doing to kids and with kids is vitally important, okay? It's not kids care. It's not child care. It's not babysitting. The kids that you have a chance to teach in your group, at your church, or in your home, the formative years of being in elementary school are so, so important. There's a book that was written by Ken Ham, who is from Answers in Genesis. Have anybody ever heard of Ken Ham? And he is intense about what he's passionate about and kids having a biblical worldview. And in his book, Already Gone, Answers in Genesis worked on research to try to determine what happened with the kids that, you know, you may have heard that 80% of Christian kids will leave the church upon graduating high school. And so in an effort to try to understand that, Ken Ham in Answers in Genesis funded research that went back through and talked to kids, students, young adults that had been part of that group that left the church. And they talked to them about their experience, and they talked to them about what happened. And what he found out of that 80% number that leaves the church whenever they graduate from high school, what he found was that almost 60% of them had started kind of checking out and leaving the church in upper elementary school. And then they dug into all the different reasons that that could be. And the one that really, really stood out that the most prominently to me was that kids were exposed to teaching about the Bible that was false or that was done in an incorrect manner. And kids did not grow to believe that the Bible is something that is true. They grew to believe that it was a fairy tale. They grew to believe that it was something that was helpful to them, but maybe, you know, not maybe the thing that we know it is. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if you read through Psalm 119, you'll see all these verses that talk about the power and the value and the importance of God's word. And the fact is, from their research, they determined that because people weren't being careful to teach kids in the right way, and because there wasn't that partnership happening between church and home, those kids began to drift in third, fourth, fifth grade. Other research tells us that by age 13, most people have their worldview set in place by the time they're 13. George Barna did research with this to look into what that was about, right? And then they also talked with people in their early 30s. And they use their research tools. I don't know how they did it. It's mumbo jumbo to me in some ways, how they get to it. But I know they're answering and asking and getting the answers to good questions. And they found that those people's views from age 13 to their early 30s were basically the same. The ones that were good, they still had those. The ones that were questionable spiritual things, they were still following that. So it's vital that we take the time that we have and make sure that we're presenting things to kids in our churches that are true, that hold up God's word, that elevate its importance in our life. And so that we're going to talk just a few minutes about that. So, but I think that your kids' ministry, in conjunction with your pastor, your lead pastor, and the parents of the kids and grandparents of the kids, you need to work to help kids develop a biblical worldview. So a biblical worldview is just essentially whenever you look at everything through a lens that begins with the Bible. Many people do not necessarily feel this way, and even some Christians, they don't really think that the Bible is to be applied literally to our lives today. They just kind of pick and choose the things that they would like. You know, they can't be comfortable with things that took place in the Old Testament, and so they decide to reject different parts. And whenever you reject parts of it, that erodes your entire faith, okay? And the same thing will happen with kids too. So what we want you to understand is that, you know, teaching apologetics, that's something that I enjoy reading about, but I'm in no way like an apologetics scholar, okay? I don't think that at all. I've read a few things. Many of you have probably read more than I have. But what this really comes down to is whenever we think about teaching Christian apologetics to kids, we're actually doing worldview training. And so I just wanted to show you a few topics that are basics maybe to apologetics. But I want to start with this verse. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us kind of the basis for why it's important. Why should we even care? But 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Well, the only way to be always prepared is to get yourself prepared. And the way you do that is you train yourself up to know different things about the Bible and to learn as much as you can and grow in your relationship with God. So when it comes to maybe some basic things that we would always want to include as topics for Christian apologetics, they'll include some of these. This won't be an exhaustive list, but kids need to know about the existence of God. Who is He? Can I know Him? Why is it important that I trust in Him? They need to understand about the existence of God. Because many places they'll be faced with opposition to even the idea that a God exists. And so we want to make sure that we're teaching them that. The reliability of the Bible that we have. We want them to know that God's Word is true. It's complete. It's infallible. Yes, it causes us questions. We're like, how could this be here and that not be here? And we, through faith, can believe that what God has given to us and protected through many, many years is what He wanted us to have and what He wants us to use as the guide for our life. Another topic that's so important is to know about the resurrection of Christ. Was it a historical event? Was it something that people just talked about, but was it made up? What was the deal? And we want kids to understand that the resurrection of Christ was an actual physical, historical event, and that there's lots of evidence to support that it actually took place the way that the Gospels present it. But there's a few more I jotted down here, like, what is the Gospel? Kids, they need to know what the Gospel is. What's the whole story there? You know, how did it come to be? Why is it important for me? Another topic is the role of a Christian in the world today. Man, all you have to do is like look at some news or look online and see an article or two, and you know there's so much opposition between people now. And I believe with all my heart that Christianity, Christians, should be the hope for the world. You know, they should be people that are connecting and healing and working together and reaching to other people, whether they are also believers or not, to work as best we can to help provide spiritual solutions to spiritual problems. I firmly believe that all of the uproar about many different things in our country are spiritual issues that come from people rejecting God's leadership in their lives. And our kids need to understand that they have a role to play in this world as a Christian to join forces with what God is already at work doing and to become a part of His plan. So they need to know that. They need to know how the world began. They need to understand that. And then something that's very, very important for your church, like in a practical sense, is they also need to understand the nature of the church and home partnership. You know, I think it's so important that we understand that if kids come to every single thing that you do, you know, you may have them for 2 or 3 hours in a week. Well, out of 168 hours, that's just not enough time, right? That's just not enough time to pour in everything that they need. So that's what makes it critical for us to work together with parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, and guardians with kids in foster care. It's so important that the faith that they have is supported and it is brought along when they're at home too. I always like to say this, and just imagine this. What if tonight was the only meal you were going to eat for a week? Now, I could go a little while, you know. My body would eat up what I got here. But, you know, you get hungry after about 24 hours. You know, you'd really start to feel that, right? But to think about going an entire week with only one meal physically, that's not something that we would ever even consider, right? But many people, that's the way they treat their spiritual life. The only meal they have is on Sunday morning. And they eat that meal and they enjoy that. They like the fellowship. But then they go home and Monday through Saturday, they don't have any other engagement with God's word or with God's people. They're not praying together with other Christians. They're not growing. They're not doing the spiritual activities that will help them know more about God. But as you work together in your churches with families to try to bridge that gap and try to build that partnership, you might end up feeling like thinking about that partnership and thinking about just these few topics of Christian apologetics that we threw up on the screen, it might tend to make you feel overwhelmed. And I mean, I get it. That's a lot of stuff. And I would be nervous if I knew that I was the one responsible working to work with parents and then to help kids know the right things about all of those different topics and so many other things. So that's where Elements Kids Worship comes in. Okay, so I'm going to make a little transition here. Let's see if this will work if I just do one thing here. All right. Where are you? Okay, sorry. Not very professional here. Steve-O, let's go, buddy. Elements. Okay. Gonna have to kill this over here first. Sorry. That should be it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Look at there. It did it. Okay. All right, so Elements Kids Worship, how many of you have ever heard of that? Okay, how many of you like presently use it in your church? Okay, great. So Elements Kids Worship was designed as a way to help teach kids how to have a biblical worldview. And in the course of a year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or however many years that your church group may use this, it is going to build into their lives, it's designed to build into their lives the proper basis for all of these topics of having a Christian, of being able to have Christian apologetics and being able to defend their faith and to know why they believe what they believe. I was in the room last night and I was thinking about this, and like I said, I don't consider myself to be an apologetics expert, and I was just kind of telling my wife, Katie, I was like, I mean, I could talk about Elements like for 45 minutes or whatever, but you know, I'm a little nervous about that. And she's like, just tell them Elements is there because you don't have to be an apologetics expert, because the people at Randall House, and I mean, I do write the lessons, so I guess I got something going for me, but when we write these lessons and whenever they put their piece into it and we work together to present that finished product to you, it is designed to help kids have a true relationship with God through Jesus and to help them be able to develop a biblical worldview. And it's one of the things in my life that I'm just so thankful for, that I get a chance to be a part of it, because I want to make an impact in the lives of kids, and I want little ones to learn who God is, and I want them to learn big words like omnipotence and justification and omniscience. I want them to learn those things, and Elements is designed in such a way to help teach them those things. And it's been a blast to put it together. So we've been doing the curriculum for 12 years now, and the thing that I love about it the most is that it's so attainable for any church. I believe the cost for a year is like $299. So that's 52 weeks of the entire curriculum. which that doesn't, what's that come out to? Like less than $5 a week, something like that? Huh? $3.99, my bad, thank you. So, still pretty cheap. Still less than 10, okay? But to be able to know that you're going to pour into kids the things that they need to pour, have poured into them. Another thing that's really, really cool about Elements, I think, is because it works in conjunction with the D6 Sunday school curriculum, or life groups, or D groups, whatever they're called at your church. It works hand in hand with some of the same principles. Like, actually, even on one particular week of a month, the Elements lesson will have basically the same theme that the small group or Sunday school lesson will have. But that is a really cool thing, I think, that it draws from the same topics. But the other cool thing is that just like the curriculum for Sunday school is built to make connections at home, the Elements Kids Worship curriculum comes with two or three different things to help kids and parents connect on what you're learning away from church too. Okay, am I ready for nuts and bolts? Have I got enough? Okay, good. All right, so one thing that you'll find, and then we'll do some questions too, because it may be that some of you that are already using it just want to ask some questions or give some feedback. I would love that. So we'll just kind of walk through a few of these things just to kind of let you know what it looks like. And then when we get to the end of that, I've got one little video to play, but based on, we'll see how it works out, okay? But every month, Elements focuses on a single element, okay? Like, for instance, this month, the element, Mr. Glenn, is? Faith, that's right. And faith is? A confident trust in God. So you can see every month, it's one element, and every Sunday of the month, that'll be the basis for everything that they do, okay? So what the idea behind that was to take concepts, Christian life concepts, and then be able to explain in a brief way what it is, a confident trust in God, and then each week drill down on a different lesson to really teach a deeper understanding of what that is. And then, confident trust in God is the definition. And if you were doing Elements Kids Worship and you download it, it will come with all these different files, video files and photo files or graphic images that you can check out. Where are you? There it is. Okay. And it comes already made. One of the things that I like about this so much is that I sometimes think I can be a good graphic designer, and every now and then I might come up with an image or a graphic that I'm really, really proud of. But most of the time, I'm agonizing over, oh, I don't really like this, doesn't look so good. Well, the staff at Randall House, they go to work for you, and they create these things. Now, you don't get to call in and say, could I have this in red or blue? But you have professional designers who are working to create the different graphics, okay? So this particular month was on the gospel. And it comes, here's kind of a title slide, right? And then it comes with two slides that are built in that are just kind of blank. So you can add in your own text if you want to put the scripture up there, if you wanted to put other things up on there for kids to look. So there's the second one. And then it'll also come with a graphic that has the definition. So this one, like I said, is the gospel. And it tells it just the good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And then one of my favorite parts of Elements is that every single element comes with a memory verse. And they also, you have the graphic there. And then it also comes with different ways to have fun working with the kids on learning the scripture memory verse. One of the things that's so cool about kids is, like, if you just said, okay, kids, we're going to say this verse 12 times, you know, you got about three or four, they'll still be with you. And, you know, about after two or three times, most kids are going to be like, do we have to do this again? Or they'll just be like, mumble, 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 like people, like, you know, sitting on the back row in the church or something like that. But whenever you use these little memorization ideas, you say it once together, and then you play this, you do this activity or do this little game, and before you know it, they have said it 10 times, and they've had a great time doing it, with the goal being that by the end of the month, every kid in your group, if they've been there for 1 or 2 weeks, they have a pretty solid memory of this verse, hopefully. So that's something that is really cool that always comes as a part of this too. And then, like I said, each week comes with a big idea, which is kind of like the bottom line lesson that's going to be learned on that particular week. All right, so this is the third lesson from the gospel. And the big idea for that is that the gospel is to be shared, just, which is similar to faith, because the last lesson of the month on faith is that it is to be shared. And it, as you go through the curriculum, there will be, toward the end of a lot of the months, there will be something related to application. As your kids learn about faith this month, they're learning more about what it is, why is it important, what's it mean, all this, why do I need it, you know? And then we want to bring them to a point where we're sending them out of that element with the idea that this can be applied to your life in this way. We want to share our faith. We need to share the gospel. And so each week you have a different big idea. And so we will throw in different review ideas. And we think it's pretty easy to use. So whenever you buy it, it's a digital curriculum. So you could go to the website, you log in, and it'll download an entire file. And you can get it in four different translations, the KJV, the New King James, the ESV, or the NIV. And then when you download it, it will come with all of these slides, graphics, and the video. And it also comes with a PDF that you can print off that if you need to use it this way, it can be an actual script of the entire session, from welcome to church to let's pray. The one thing it doesn't include is music. But we know that everybody's taste in music is completely different in many cases, and also it's very expensive to produce your own music. So we just encourage you to find the things that you like the most out there. So let me see here. What have I missed, Christine? You think of anything? Yeah. So the way in a session, you know, it would start off, you would have, you know, if you maybe have a graphic for what your church, kids' church is like, and you do your welcome and a prayer, and you do some music together, then you would go through those three slides, the element of the month, the verse, and then introduce the big idea. And then each week, I mentioned there was a video. It's called the Big Idea Video. It's usually 4 to 6 minutes, not much more than that, not much less than that. And it's just another, like a little way to try to connect kids to the lesson that they're going to be learning that day. We've tried to think about the fact that kids need their attention span clocks reset pretty frequently. If you've never heard of this, I believe this to be true. But generally, except for me, you have about a minute of attention span per year of life. So I'm 51, so I should be able to pay attention for a long time, but I'm like hashtag forever 12, so I get lost. But kids, you know, think about it, 5 to 8 to 10-year-old kids, every so often, that goes by pretty quick during an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. So you need to be thinking of ways to help reset their clock. Because once their clock has run out, if you don't reset it and give them something to engage again, then that's when you get those kids that are picking at their friends, or they're talking, or they won't stop doing whatever it is, and they get distracted. So do your best to always try to be thinking of how am I going to reset that attention span clock for the youngest kids in your group, because that'll help everybody, okay? I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I'll just show you a big idea video real quick. They're fun. We have a good time. We have this professional guy that comes and records these for us on a green screen. And this guy's done some really incredible, like, real life stuff, you know? But he is a Christian and he's a great dude. So just check this out. We'll see a little part. Not my actual house.
So glad you're here. Well, you see, here at my house, I have a high, high place of honor for my friends. Look, you see my picture? This picture is of me, of course, with my good buddy, Mr. Giraffe, Harriet the Horse, and Timmy the T-Rex. Wow.
Isn't that a great picture? I mean, come on.
Like I do, because decided I wanted to do something like special for them. So I went to my candy stash and I got my bag of suckers. And now I'm going to share a few of these into each of these bags so I can give them to my friends. Fun, right? It's always fun to share things. Let me do this right now. Let me go here. We got one. 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 Two. Two. Three. And then that's two, two, two. So everybody's got two. Everybody's got two so far. I want to make sure it stays even. Ooh, the chocolatey ones. Do you like those?
What's your favorite?
Mr. Giraffe loves
chocolate.
Harriet. No, this is perfect. This is Harriet's favorite flavor. She loves the grape ones. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, Timmy likes the red ones because they remind him of his country that he's from, Russia. So there's three.
I'll tell you more about the little puppets in a moment.
Oh, they're going to love this. There's so much candy going in these bags. And one more for Timmy, and then one for me. Hey. What do you know? There's not any more in the bag. Well, I guess I won't get to have one right now. But, look, it is still really, really cool that I'm getting to share seven suckers with each one of my friends. They're going to love it. You know, kids, good things are meant to be shared. Sure, it's kind of a bummer that there aren't any more suckers in this bag that I could enjoy for myself right now, but good things are meant to be shared, and it feels good to give things to people that they will love or that they need. And that reminds me of our big idea this week. The big idea is that the gospel is to be shared. Now, with suckers, when you share a whole bag, you end up empty, right? Well, the good news about the good news is that no matter how many times you give that away, you won't run out of the good news by sharing it with others. And this is something that we're supposed to do. You have the opportunity as a Christian to help other people get to know about God's amazing plan to save us from the penalty of our sins through a relationship with Jesus. So I hope that you'll be locked in and focused today and ready to learn all about this big idea. So you know what time it is. Let's get those Bibles out, and I'm going to take these suckers to our friends.
Timmy and Mr. Giraffe and Harriet, they're just stuffed animals that I bring out, and I just talk for them. I mean, it's not high dollar like movie magic. It was just like, you'll see my hand, and I'm just like, da, 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 da. So Timmy is a T-Rex, and he is from Russia. So, you know, he's tries to work on his Russian accent, but it usually kind of goes toward like Aussie while I'm trying to do the Russian accent. So that's, you know, the kids, I hope they like that. Harriet is a very, very small horse from England, and she's had oh so many adventures. And she just talks about all these crazy things, like, I've just come home from a safari on the African savanna. And she's got these huge, big, big things, you know. But so she's kind of cool. And then Mr. Giraffe is kind of the original, like, rock star of the Elements Kids Worship stuff. Like, literally, like, 11 years ago when we first started doing this, we needed another idea. And they had this stuffed giraffe. My girls were small then. And I just picked it up and started doing these stupid songs. And there was a kid there, a little kid, like, 2 years old, Mayor Hawkins. And I just made up this goofy song. And so that next week we were putting together the videos, and I was like, why don't we just do something with Mr. Giraffe? And so we did it, and little did I know, he's the rock star. When kids run up to me, and many times they're like, where's Mr. Giraffe? Where's he at? And I don't understand it really all the way, but kids really, really dig that. Yeah, I think it's the song, yeah. Yeah, I'll sing it for you afterwards if you want to hear the song. But but another thing that I did fail to mention is that part of every single download, there's also just a basic little skit that can be done with just a couple of characters. It can be done with as much costuming or as little costuming and props as you want, but it's with a smaller church in mind. You don't have 13 people to do a full production or whatever, but you might have one or two. And so we tried to write things in that way. And again, that skit is just another way to kind of keep kids engaged with what that lesson is. So typically, the way I've always used it is after the big idea video plays, then I come out with my Bible and I teach the Bible lesson. The Bible lessons are designed to last, you know, 15 to 25 minutes. Just depends on how you want to take it. And again, the scripts that we produce, they're in there with like bold type where you should say this, and like lighter type when it's like information that you need to know about how to handle some of the instructions that are in there. But it's not meant to be used in a word-for-word way. But occasionally, if you work in a church long enough and you have a volunteer that's supposed to be showing up and all of a sudden they've got two flat tires and their car's overheating as they're on their way to the lake, they aren't going to make it anymore. And you might need to say, hey, Chloe, I need you today. If I give you this, can you please go in and lead this session for me? And if you get to that bottom level, not that Chloe's awesome. She would do a great job. But if you get to that level and a person needed to just be able to read it or consult it and go through it that way, that's just a safety net for you. But we hope that it will be something that leaders will use to prepare for during the whole week, and then they can consult it and check it as they need it, but not be so tied to it. We want you to see that it's like a guided trail that you can take little side trips off of and make it however you like, rather than you have to do it exactly like this.